Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Sitting in the presence of those who deserve praise, I turn my thoughts to thankfulness, thinking of the gifts they have granted to the world they love so well. Entwined with the world's substance, the gods and goddesses have created and sustained, brought forth and upheld, wonders beyond humanity's lifetime's imaginings. Out of the multitude of scattered gifts, I have been witness to only a few, yet still I experience awe. Still I am moved to gratitude. Still I approach you with thanks. Givers of gifts, accept my words as my own gift to you in return.
Blessed be.
Blessed be. Well, here we are the day after Thanksgiving.
Yay.
Yay.
Also known as Black Friday.
I know, which from those who are in retail, I understand what that's like.
Yeah.
One is sitting across here, Phoenix, and one who normally does shopping, but this time I stayed away from the bigger and more illustrious places.
Well, tomorrow is Shop Local Saturday.
Yay!
So we, you know, as a small business owner, we fully expect tomorrow to be wonderful and fun and busy and bustling, and today was as well, but tomorrow
more so.
More so, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, downtown Sebastopol is going to be a hoot.
It will be. Lucky me, I'm going to be at Milk and Honey doing readings for the afternoon.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll have some hot cider, which will make the entire store smell like Christmas, and some treats and delicious things, and it'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Well, I will enjoy being there. And whatever comes of it, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
So, and your Thanksgiving was good?
My Thanksgiving was good. We cooked, and there's still lots of food, and I've been doing this food program for the last 6 weeks, so I've had no sugar and no carbohydrates for 6 weeks until yesterday when I had all of the sugar and all of the carbohydrates. We made 10 pounds of potatoes, and I think I ate half of them.
Oh, my goodness.
So today I'm struggling a little bit.
Oh.
My body's like, what did you do? How about you?
Oh, well, it was family is family wherever I have. I have some in Arkansas, which I normally spend time with. I didn't. I was here with a very dear family friend and her daughter, and we went to Willie Bird's for the very first time in my entire 30 years of it being in existence up here and my being here.
Yeah.
And a very funny thing is that same location had a place called Hofbräu, which as a child I did go to a lot with my family.
I highly recommend Googling Willie Bird's if you're not from Sonoma County in California, because it's an institution.
It really is.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a time warp when you go into that restaurant. It's awesome.
Yes. And it was a very, very good meal, and they did a beautiful job and efficient, and it was really nice. And then after that, we kind of melded away because we had other places we had to go, and hung out with friends on my end and just sort of finished off the night being, you know, comfy with my pups.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So now we have a subject matter that in its own right is kind of a nebulous one, and yet we are going to make it more real for people. It's called spell crafting.
Spell crafting.
Yes.
We are witches and we do spells.
We do spells. And we should actually talk a little bit here because as spells and spell casting and spell crafting, that's what witches do.
Right.
That's not necessarily the same thing that hoodoo practitioners do.
Right.
It goes by another name called root work.
Right.
So, but...
Right. Well, right. But the more you study magical systems and the more you study spells, and the more you study the secret things that people do to change consciousness or change their circumstances, you see similarities. So even though root work is root work, spellcraft is spellcraft, and we can put all of these things into their little boxes and with their own little titles and their own pretty bows, but there's a lot of similarities in magical systems that cross over.
So when people connect with both Phoenix and myself through the hoodoo tradition, we do connect with the words hoodoo and root work and things of that nature and keep within the traditions. But like anything else, we still come with our base of witchcraft. So spellcasting is really what we are. In our mind, we are spellcasters, but we are also doing root work because we follow a tradition that has its way of doing something.
Right, right. So. And we're, you know, I want to be transparent in our conversations always. You know, spellcraft, magic, and religion are not always synonymous. They're not the same thing. And there are many people who consider themselves pagans or religiously witches that don't do spell work at all. And for me, I feel like the word witch, taking the title witch, to me that means magic. That means doing spell work. That means doing healing work or whatever. Being a pagan, maybe not so much.
Right.
But, you know, and if you disagree, that's fine. You're welcome to disagree. But I really feel like the title of witch holds the energetic of spell work.
Right.
And there, it's become iconic. Even when you see images of witches, they're over cauldrons and things are bubbling and they're making potions.
That's
and,
true.
You know, making poison apples and things.
Yeah.
So there is a magic and, and spell work connected to that word.
Exactly.
I think it's important to honor that and to not diminish it.
Right.
And I'm going to go on a little soapbox here. I'm sorry. I didn't know this was going to happen.
That's okay.
I think that back in the day when paganism started to really take a hold, like in the 60s and 70s, when it had a resurgence and a rebirth and people were getting excited about earth-based spirituality, there was a little bit of a shunning of magic, of, of doing spell work, because people wanted to have legitimacy.
Right.
Right. Our religions are legitimate. And if we say we do all this weird spell bullshit, people might not believe we're legitimate. But I would like to reclaim that. And, you know, spell work is an important part of being a witch.
Yes. And obviously with the name, the witch, the priestess, and the cauldron, I think we really have claimed that.
Yeah.
And I would say at this point, yes, spell work, magic, is part of who we are.
Yeah.
And whether we do it professionally or we do it personally, it is always what we do. And I think that that process is why we chose to put this kind of show together.
Yeah.
Absolutely. To bring that understanding, and especially holding it in the manner of being out in the world, whether we are out in the world doing what we're doing or we're out in the world talking about what we're doing, we are. And people know, even if they can't put a their finger exactly on it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Now, as far as spell casting and crafting, do we have a definition? Do we have anything that we can give as a linear thought here?
Well, I have three quotes I would like to share. Well, two quotes and then a summation.
Okay.
Okay. So Dionne Fortune, who has written extensively on magic and paganism and witchcraft, she said that magic is the art of changing consciousness at will. So there's one.
Right.
One, right. Then Aleister Crowley, who has also written a ton about witchcraft and magic and paganism and occult traditions. Magic is the science and art of causing change to occur in conformity to will.
Right.
So again, we have this concept of an art form, changing consciousness and will, right? Both of these practitioners who are very famous refer to this, right? And then I have a little summation from Victor Anderson, who is the founder of the fairy tradition. And Victor Anderson has been quoted, and I'm going to not quote this. I don't have the exact word for word.
Right.
But basically what he said was, white magic is poetry, and black magic is anything that works.
Now that's interesting.
So I wanted to share those ideas about it, because spellcraft, I feel, for me, magic and spellcraft, magic and spell working, magic and spell casting, those two things feel like the same.
Exactly. I agree.
Spell work is changing consciousness at will.
And that is really, in all of the forms, that's what you do. When somebody comes to you and says, I want to get a better job, what can I do to do this? I mean, we're not telling them they need to dust their resume off, and we go with the real world things. Now, we do tell them to do that
on
one side.
We tell them that too, yeah.
But they're coming to us for spell work to help them.
Right.
So it changes their energy pattern. And I think the most important part of this is it's putting the individual in their center of power.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you feel unempowered is when you feel you can't get what you need or want or are unable to.
Right. Right, which is, I find, endlessly fascinating. When I do have clients who come and want help or support or spell work, and I give them step-by-step, play-by-play, here, do this process for this goal you have, and they say, oh, no, Phoenix, I can't do this. I don't have the power. I need you to do it. And it breaks my heart every time, because absolutely everyone possesses this power. You know, you may be more gifted at doing money work or love work or healing work or whatever, but anyone can do this. They just have to have the belief and the faith that they can.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's part of the changing, that's part of the magic.
Yeah.
It's like maneuvering the process so they actually do find that moment where they become powerful.
Right.
They are able to get full of their power.
Right.
And it's hard, because I think a lot of us over the decades of different cultures have been told we don't have the power. We need to go to someone else.
Right.
We have this. Well, I mean, obviously if you need a doctor, you need to go to a doctor. You're not exactly, you know, medically gifted on that level in terms of that. But this is something else. This is something that is within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are it. We are power. We are structure. We are the divine.
Right.
So it's really difficult sometimes, because sometimes I sit and I go, okay, well, let's start just like Phoenix said, step one, step two, step three.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't, you can light a candle. You can write down what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can pray, you know, or say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, what I think the other part of it is not believing that what they have to say is valuable,
right,
and viable,
right.
And of course, spellcasting has, you know, components. It has ingredients. It works with, you know, certain things, which obviously we will start to dissect and give you that and work with that. But I think it's important that we understand it is from us, from our mind. I mean, they have all kinds of ways to describe it. You connect with the ether, and you connect with the astral plane, and you connect with all these things.
Mm-hmm.
To draw the energy together,
right,
and bring it in, and then pour it into what you're doing in the physical elements.
Right.
And as I took a picture of the altar for today and our spellcrafting topic, it's ingredients.
Yeah.
And you charge the ingredients with your desire.
Right.
And
right.
I think one of the things, and I read this not even in a magic book, but somewhere in one of those wonderful books that is story-based, magic is desire made real.
Mm, I like that.
And I really like that, because when you have desire, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always mean that the desire has is viable in some ways, but that does still...
There's an energy.
There's an energy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not a secret. It's totally scientific. Our brain waves create something. They do things. It has been proven scientifically that certain words and things that are spoken out loud, we speak, are literally vibrating out of our mouths.
Uh-huh.
There is a sound wave that happens. All of these things have an impact.
Right.
You know, I think we've talked about Emoto before, when in our water.
Yes.
When we talked about the tablets.
Yes, we did. We talked about.
Yeah, so in Emoto's work, he puts, he writes words and tapes them to a cup and pours water in it, and he says, "I love you" to the water, and that the water molecules crystallize and become beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets this other cup of water, and he says, "Oh, you're ugly, and I hate you." And that water starts, the molecules start to decay. This is scientific.
Mm-hmm.
So when we put ourselves in an alignment, when we put our thoughts and our words and our actions into alignment, and we use herbs and oils and the phase of the moon or whatever, all in alignment with that same goal,
mm-hmm.
we're just shifting the consciousness towards what we're trying to manifest.
Right. Right. And obviously, in that frame, one of the sayings is to cast spell, is to project the energy through the symbols and then to the object as these symbols are lenses to the desire that you want.
Mm.
And so it's a focus.
Very scientific.
Yes, it is. Very scientific. Focus and movement, it all embodies it. And we love props because props are physical.
Yeah. Well, and so in many traditions, right, we've talked about this before, that triple soul idea. Mm-hmm. Anytime you do meditation, prayer, chanting, there's the child self
mm-hmm.
or the fetch or the animal self,
mm-hmm.
right? It's kind of in your belly. That self needs to be entertained.
Right.
And when you have tangible things, flames, candles, roots and herbs, and you get to kind of feel witchy and in
mm-hmm.
it, that appeals to your child self.
Mm-hmm.
That helps the work move.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, when I get into making a spell bag in our tradition or a mojo bag in
right.
the hoodoo tradition, part of that is that it's like, oh my, I've got my little things and I can put this here and put that there and I make this. And there is that enthusiasm
yeah.
of that child of making something come to life.
Right. Getting your hands dirty.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
absolutely.
That's what drives. That's
mm-hmm.
what drives the process. And when I'm working for a client, it is whether or not I am concerned about what they really will get is going to happen. I set aside that and
yeah.
become
right.
part of what I'm doing because that's what they want and that's what I approximate. But I always tell them, and this is fun, I always tell them it's like, you really want this, so you're having the baby. I am the midwife.
Yeah.
You really have to be the one who does it.
Right.
Because you've got the juice.
Right. Right. It's your goal.
It's your goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I make jokes about it so that they don't feel, you know, that there's any kind of negativity here. It's just, well, you know, I mean,
yeah.
truthfully, this is really what it is.
Right.
But I think for what we're talking about, you understand we get passionate, and that's part of it, the passion of creating these wonderful things, whether they're candles or they're herbs that we're using or oils, you know, whatever it is. If we want to start from scratch and make our oils just ourselves and then we start and make our sachets or our incenses, you know, or we take the ones that others have done and we put our energy into it.
Right.
It's all there.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah. So we've been dancing around it, and we talked about it before the show when we were preparing. So I'm going to ask you, what is a spell?
Ah! See? She puts me on the spot. Okay. Well, let's see if I can pull this one together with some panache, okay? One never knows if any of what I have here is viable. Okay. So a spell is a symbolic act done in an altered state of consciousness in order to cause a determined or desired change.
Nice. Again, that sounds very scientific.
I know. You see, there's a difference. Science and magic.
Yeah, they're the same.
They're the same.
Yeah.
I mean, we have been put as a secondary now in terms of that, but it's really the same.
Yeah.
And I think they even call it the new physics.
Right.
Is how they're trying to word it for, you know, making it, well, now the new physics.
Not so woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not woo. But I own my woo.
New physics. I'm a new physician. Oh, no, that's not right.
Not
no. physician.
You know, our new physics physician? I don't know. So, okay, so I guess, first of all, you identify the flow
mm-hmm.
and what you want, and then you decide whether or not you're going to go after it and how.
Right, which is all about setting your intention.
Exactly.
And you know, often people come to magic because they're in trauma or crisis and they need this thing to be fixed now, or they want a spell to just cure everything and make it all better. And that's fine.
Uh-huh.
You know, many positive things have come from that level of
need.
Yeah. But having a strong and solid intention is important, and it's often the first step, even before the need.
Uh-huh.
You know, what is the intention? Although, one of my friends on Facebook, and I'm not going to say their name because I don't know if they want to be outed.
Uh-huh.
However, they wrote a beautiful post just this morning about intention.
Uh-huh.
And they said that they were concerned that too many magical practitioners were getting caught up in, oh, it's just your intention. As long as it's your intention is all that's important. And what they wrote was, well, if I take toothpaste and hamburger meat and my intention is to make pasta, I can have that intention until I pass out. But toothpaste and hamburger meat are never going to make pasta.
True.
So, yes, your intention is important, but you also have to have the right tools
uh-huh.
and the right things in order to put that intention into motion.
And there's also the other part of that, which most of us dance around in terms of helping our clients and including ourselves,
mm-hmm.
is that sometimes that intention and desire and right ingredients don't work because somewhere it's not really that, it's not destined, it's not set up that it can.
Right.
That somebody else or something else, be it a job or a person, that you need to realize they have their path too.
Right.
Just because you want something.
Right. Right. Well, and you don't, like, you always have to take into consideration in spell working, you have guides, you have allies,
uh-huh.
you have ancestors, potentially you have deities that you work with, and they all are impacting and influencing you as well.
Uh-huh.
So you may have this goal, you may want this one thing and you're focused on it, and I think that's where, especially where sometimes being paid for spell work
uh-huh.
or in the hoodoo tradition, sometimes people get so focused on, I must have this one thing,
uh-huh.
that it shuts off all the potential,
uh-huh.
all of the potential. And that is, you're going to be less successful if your pinpoint focus is on that one thing.
Right.
And it may not work because it's not good for you, or it's
uh-huh.
not supposed to, or your allies are interfering
uh-huh.
because that's not actually what you should be doing.
Right.
So you have to remember that too. If you're calling new love into your life, call it in. Make the net wide. Call in the right partner,
uh-huh.
not Joe. You know,
exactly.
Joe might not be the right dude.
Right. And you've got so many variables, and I think people start, and again, it comes to our culture is, you know, have a goal, focus on that goal, strive for that goal, that whatever goal it is, and, you know, keep working at it and you'll get it, hard work, blah, blah, blah. And I understand that, but we're talking about something that has a bigger scope,
mm-hmm.
and when you, as Phoenix said, you throw the net out, throw it wide. I mean, if you're going to go out and catch fish,
yeah.
you don't go out and get a net and go with one fish. You get a whole bunch of fish.
Right. Or not even one net. You don't just put your hook right in this centimeter. Oh, there's no fish there. I guess I'll just go home. Or I'm going to wait here until I die, until
yeah.
the fish magically appears right in this
right.
1 centimeter of water.
Right.
You know, it's... You have to set your sights bigger.
Right. And I understand fishing is also meditative. I used to do that with my dad and family. And, yes, you put your one hook down and you'd either get it or you wouldn't. But it wasn't set up
right.
for that. Most of the time when you're fishing and you're doing, and professional fishermen or fisherwomen have more than one hook out there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's different. It's like, make it bigger.
Right. Which is, you know, in my little list here of things I wanted to make sure we talk about, I have ethics written down, which really fit into this part of the conversation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, there is, in certain magical traditions, doing spell work for anyone else or on anyone else without their explicit permission is a no-no.
Right.
In certain traditions, you can't, if you have a friend who is ill and you do a healing spell for them and you haven't gotten their explicit permission to do that, it's considered negative work because
right.
you are doing spell work on someone else, which could be coercive.
Uh-huh.
In other traditions, you could coerce the hell out of people and they don't care. You
right.
do binding spells, love spells, cursing spells, whatever.
Death spells.
Yeah, and that's just the way that it goes.
Right.
So ethics is, there is no one right answer
uh-huh.
for you. It's
right.
really what feels okay in your personal
uh-huh.
ethic.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it's a slippery slope because once you decide what your ethics are, it's really easy to become judgmental about what someone else's
yes.
ethics are. And that's dangerous.
Uh-huh.
It's a dangerous place to go.
Uh-huh.
But ethics is we could have a whole show just on ethics.
Yeah. And, again, we probably will down the road because they all seem to, our topics kind of flow from one to the other. And I know that when we talk ethics and when we talk what we're doing, I mean, what is your ethics on where you hold your line and say no?
Right. Well, and that's tricky because what I will help a client do is not necessarily what I would do for myself personally, right?
Exactly.
And I will give people information on very dark magic, and I will give folks information on cursing spells, and I will tell them where to find it. I won't do that work.
Right.
I don't do cursing work. I don't do breakup work. I don't do anything that is considered quote-unquote black magic, which I don't
uh-huh.
necessarily like to use the terms black
uh-huh.
and white when dealing with magic. That feels ridiculous, but I have done love work specifically targeting one individual.
Uh-huh.
I've definitely done justice work. I've done binding work
uh-huh.
with someone who was causing all kinds of trouble and chaos in other people's lives. I've done hot foot work, which is sending people away. I've gotten
yeah.
rid of terrible neighbors from
yeah.
my own self.
Yeah.
You know, so depending on who you ask, my magical ethics may be very messy.
Well, and I guess it's where does each of us draw the line?
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, Phoenix has discussed her line, and we actually share very similar points of reference. But, you know, I do not do breakup work. I mean, if somebody wants to contract for breakup work on a professional level, I will find them a reputable practitioner and send them to it.
Right.
But I won't. Now, maybe I'll give them information.
Yeah.
But then it's like, would you do a breakup spell on them? No.
Right.
You know, there are things that I will obviously hold to in terms of no. I don't believe there are, for me, that's where I draw lines. And just like when I started reading Tarot,
mm-hmm.
I basically kind of made a pact, if you will, that I will read for people for transitions, but I will never read their death.
Yeah.
Or deaths of their family members.
Yeah.
Physical from this plane type.
Right. Well, and, you know, even in those traditions where doing cursing work or darker magic or breakup work or whatever, even in those traditions where that's okay, where that's totally within the bounds of being ethical,
uh-huh.
you are still encouraged to do a cleansing bath. You take a hyssop bath or a 13-herb bath after you've done the curse.
Uh-huh.
So clearly, even in those systems where you do a curse, you have to go and cleanse yourself of that work.
Of course.
So, you know, I feel like any type of work where you need to go and scrub yourself down afterwards, that's the line for me.
Uh-huh.
And I am so okay with other folks who do all of the magic. I'm
uh-huh.
okay with it. You,
yeah.
you go. You do it. You,
yeah.
you know, it takes all kinds. I'm
uh-huh.
okay with it. But for me, my personal ethics, that's where I draw the line. And it is tricky, and it isn't a solid line. It's very fuzzy. There's been a few cases I've taken on that pushed my boundaries because I felt strongly about the client or the person
right.
situation, but it's tricky.
Yeah, and that kind of presents us with, again, the work you choose and how you do it
mm-hmm.
is the mindset of what you put out. So if you're scared that you're, you know, going to do this cursing work, then you need to look at what it is you're really doing.
Right.
Because that fear is the negative side
mm-hmm.
that can actually backfire.
Yes, backfire, rebounding, what's the other word? There's another word. It'll come to me probably an hour after the show's over. But that idea that I'm really freaking out about doing this curse. I feel bad about this, or I'm scared about this, or I'm worried about this. Okay, well you're taking that on now, and I can't even count the people who have come to me and said, oh, I did this intranquil spirit spell, which is a terrible love spell. Basically, it's, you know, love me or die. It's this type of love spell. And I can't sleep now, and I'm feeling hunted and haunted. And, well, yeah, because you've done this really dark piece of magic, and you're so afraid and so obsessed that it's impacting you. You're having rebound. You're having blowback.
And even cleansing and clearing isn't going to always take that away.
Right.
Because there's certain things that when you push your own will on somebody, you are forcing something to happen that the other person's free will is being taken away. And as we have seen over real-time situations, when you take people's liberties and freedoms away, you get people being really upset and angry, and then there's this whole thing. And you figure that's real-world action. Think of it as just energy.
Right.
And it's going to be kind of scary.
Yeah.
But that being said,
right.
You know, there are reasons. If it's, you know, there's a justice. We had something terrible happen here in Sonoma County at the beginning of the week where reminded me of something that happened actually 30 years ago. But a man had basically at this point he went into the Catholic Church with his son, who was 7, and his daughter 4, and somehow, quote unquote, the little 4-year-old was drowned in the font of.
God, I didn't hear about this.
This is in Healdsburg, the Catholic Church in Healdsburg.
Yikes.
And then he came out. He was naked, and he was caught. He was holding the child's body, and went to the police station, and was calling for help. And no one knows specifically. But now, of course, there's an investigation, and there's all these things going on. And, you know, what are you going to do? That's an energy pattern, and what he's done and the energies that you're dealing with. So justice, do we do justice against the father?
Right. And sometimes the work to do in situations like that that are messy and cloudy and and there's anger and hurt and betrayal is for the truth to be seen.
Right.
Right? So you're not doing a curse against him.
Right.
You're letting the truth be seen so that the process can unfold the way that it needs to.
Right.
You
and
know?
See, that's, I think, where when you are looking at it as a practitioner, you need to clarify.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that the mother doesn't come to you and go, you know, this is what I want, this is what I need, you know, revenge or whatever.
Right.
So we have to hold our own boundaries and see how we can manifest for them something. And that's part of what would be called intention.
Right, right. You start with a need, then what develops from the need is an intention.
Uh-huh.
What is it you want?
Uh-huh.
Where is it you're going?
Uh-huh.
You know, to just keep it easy, I want this job. I need a job. I want this thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what does that look like?
Right.
What would it look like? What, when you look into the future and you see what this job will bring to you, what is the emotion behind it? You know, is it that you'll have good benefits, or is it that you'll have security, or is it the pay? It's more than just, I want this job. There's all of these other things that feed into that, and all of that needs to be taken into consideration as you craft your intention and why you're doing this working. You know, yes, you can totally jump in the kitchen and take a pinch of this and a bit of that and light the candle and do the spell and do something on the fly if you have to because there's an emergency. But it's so much more rewarding and rich and powerful if you can take some space and really craft something beautiful.
Right. And that's where the word crafting can be brought into. Ta-da!
Yeah.
It's what we see as how we can make something happen. And obviously, when our break is through, we will come back and discuss the elements that you would be using and possibly throw something out there as a little spell or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Dig into the details, the specifics, and talk about ways to charge that, ways to feed it, and whether you do it once or you keep doing it.
Right, because obviously there are other, there are multiple times you use something. There is a singular time you do it. It's also what is the best way for what is needed at the time.
Right, right, right. Whether you jump into the kitchen and take a piece of this or a piece of that, or you plan some grand ritual that takes a month to put into the process.
Right, right. So, and it's okay. So here we go with break.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candelo's Corner with Candelo Camisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Bit of Boxu with Madame Naya and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Friday 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Western, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
I just love that intermission.
I always dance.
I know, it's very up. Okay, so now we go into
Faking a cell.
Yes.
Yeah.
So obviously we have the four elements, which, you know, we started out with air, which we will obviously continue.
Yeah.
But we have to consider the four elements and what they represent and what it is that the spell is going to be the focal point of, which element, fire, passion, you know, water is emotion, air is, you know, job, mind, things like that. So that would be our first thing on how to go about it.
Right.
Okay, is to determine the main focal point of the element. We use all the elements in doing this, but one of them is going to be the lens that we choose.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then from there, we get to choose the kind.
Right.
So do you want to elucidate on that?
Sure. Well, there is no end of imagination that can go into planning a spell. And really, you know, we did a whole show on rituals. A spell can be done in a ritual. A spell is a ritual, right?
Uh-huh.
So there's candle magic. There is making mojo bags. And side note here, all of this goes back to our far, far, far ancestors who used sympathetic magic, right? I'm going to make this thing that represents that buffalo, and I'm going to kill this little buffalo that I've made so that when all of the hunters go out, they'll be able to kill that buffalo out there so we can eat it, right?
Right.
So that's still the model. Nothing has changed in millions of years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of magic using dollies and puppets.
Uh-huh.
So my friend in Amsterdam is ill. I'm going to make this puppet of her, and I'm going to do healing work on this puppet, and it will impact her, the sympathetic magic, right?
Uh-huh.
So it really, the type of spell you do, whether it's a candle or making a mojo or making a potion or making a brew, it's about what appeals to you.
Uh-huh.
And it could be, you could make something completely new up. It doesn't have to fit any of these boxes.
Right.
But it needs to appeal to you. And the more correspondences that you can pull into your working, the better. Like we've talked about before, everything vibrates. Everything vibrates at different levels.
Uh-huh.
If you're doing love work and you want to focus on the color pink and roses and the goddess Aphrodite or whatever, the more of things that vibrate at that level of love, the stronger your ritual and your spell is going to vibrate at that same level of love.
Right? Exactly, right.
So the more things you can have in alignment with your goal, the better. It's not 100% necessary, but it absolutely helps. Absolutely.
Well, it'd be like, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to wear a little base on my for makeup, and then maybe I want to add a little bit of color for my eyes, and then, oh, by the way, I really want to do eyeliner and mascara, and then you start getting into this crafting of your canvas, which is your face, and you're going to be doing that. The same thing is what doing a spell.
That is a freaking awesome metaphor.
Well, I'm sitting here now. You understand, we sit across from each other, and this is one of the things that our show, we really love about it. And it was like, what's a metaphor? And
it was so great.
I was thinking, so you are part of my metaphor.
Oh, thanks. You were noticing my mascara.
I was noticing your mascara and your liner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, because the goal ultimately is you're going to go out, right?
Yes, exactly.
So whether you just put a little powder on or you put a full face and lipstick or whatever, you have made it out. But it's just the degree of what your process is.
Exactly.
I love that metaphor.
There we are. See, it's a girl thing. It's a girl thing.
That's great.
So, and so you've got candle work, which is obviously you can you see the element of fire that changes from a solid to a liquid to a vapor, and that has its own transformation. You have herbs that you can get. Some people really connect with the herb magic.
Yeah, and you can drink those things, assuming they're edible. Make sure you check. Or you can burn them, or you can put them into a bath.
Right.
There's lots of different ways to work within the elements as well.
And she already covered poppets and doll magic, of course. And then there's powders, sachets or powders that you can use either on a candle, if you take the candle and oil it and then, you know, use that, roll it, or herbs, the same thing. You can roll it and make it kind of like a rolling pin, and then it looks all pretty powdered. Or you strewn it across somebody's pathway, or you dust your papers you're going to give. Obviously, in this day and age, we have to make a disclaimer here about powders and things like that, because with the hypersensitivity of what is going on out there, you want to be aware. You need to not have it so obvious.
Right, right. And let's be super, clear here. We're talking about a sachet powder, which is a white powder that you would use in all the ways Elvira said. But, you know, if you're going to write a love letter and put a love sachet in that envelope and mail it to the beloved that you are wooing, having a white powder in the mail is probably not a good idea.
Right. And that's because we have gotten since 9/11 and all the things have gotten hypersensitive.
Right. You don't want Homeland Security thinking you're mailing anthrax
to your beloved. So you have to be careful, and we keep telling people this in our personal practice, and we are telling it now as a podcast, that you need to be aware that when you're using things like this, that you are careful because of what's going on in the bigger world.
Our board operator, Alan, in the chat just said, or cocaine. Yes, exactly. You also don't want people thinking you're mailing cocaine to your beloved.
Right, which, you know,
also could bring trouble.
Could bring trouble. So with that in mind, there is that with powders and even with oil. So, you know, there are things that, you know, you would consider necessary to watch.
And with all of these things, with incenses, oils, powders, sachets, herb mixtures, all of these things can be bought and pre-made from lots of magical shops. Lucky Mojo, obviously, makes amazing products. The shop I run, Milk and Honey, we have lots of amazing products. There, you can go and buy, oh, this is a love bath, I want to use this, right? Or you can take a little bit extra time, do a little bit of research, find the herbs that are in alignment with the thing you're going after, and make the thing yourself.
Right.
Again, you're getting your hands dirty. You're getting involved with it.
And people enjoy it. People like to, you know, we like to cook. You know, not all of us do anymore, but we like to cook. And you kind of, this is cooking. This is another way to look at cooking.
Yeah.
And so you would utilize that. Obviously, we have incense. People can buy pre-made incense cones, sticks, whatever, or you can make your own.
Yep.
You can do that with a charcoal, which is a self-igniting charcoal that you have, the lighting charcoal, and you get some herbs and you put them on it.
Mm-hmm. And again, keep in mind, if herbs and all of this is new to you, make sure you're doing your research, because some herbs are poisonous, even though you have easy access to them.
Huh.
Some herbs are fine to drink, but not to burn, and
right.
vice versa. And there are some herbs that can cause altered consciousness.
Right.
For example, mugwort or frankincense and myrrh. These things are fine, but they do alter consciousness. Some very mild,
mm-hmm.
and some quite hallucinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
Be very cautious.
Right. Now I'm going to make a point here of also, if you're doing anything where you're trying to do something for someone that they will ingest,
mm-hmm.
please realize that you have to be aware of what you're putting in there. Again, herbs, what are not good for the human body, and oils, which you do not put into liquids, because even though it may be a love me oil and a couple of drops in one of your significant other's beer, it is not appropriate because it is harmful.
Right. And, the Love Me oil blend, you might think, oh, well, this is like a perfume blend. Of course I wouldn't do that. I'll just get a rose essential oil. No, essential oils are not to be ingested.
Exactly.
Please don't eat essential oils.
See, you can tell that we have had a multitude of experiences that we're trying to, as we suggest things, we have to do disclaimers. We have to give you understanding that even putting an oil on your skin, you've got to be very careful, because it is not hypoallergenic.
Right.
You test a little area, so it's, you don't slather yourself up.
Right. And this is another reason why, if you can, being slow and methodical and gathering your bits for your spell work is so important and vital, because you're not just jumping in half-cock and making mistakes that could actually cause you harm.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So from that, you can do, and it's interesting, I knew this vaguely from one of my various herb classes I've taken, but it reminded me, condensers
mm-hmm.
are different than oils.
Yeah.
Condensers are basically similar, but they are a liquid substance, but not oil.
Right.
And they can be charged, so it's water or liquid, and can be, alcohol.
Yeah, but through a tradition I used to practice in, we made condensers or sensors for every ritual, depending on the god we were working
mm-hmm.
with. Yeah.
So that was something that I found interesting, and it also is something that can evaporate and dry, so if you put it on anything, it will be able to evaporate. So the little oil spots that you leave on things that you want to give people for whatever purpose won't be there.
Right.
So now there is a difference between talismans
and
amulets. I said, well, there's these talismans and amulets, and I couldn't figure out what there was a difference. Well, an amulet is a naturally occurring object, like a bear claw or a feather.
Shark tooth.
Yeah. A talisman is a made object, either out of stone or wood or metal,
mm-hmm.
and engravings and, different things are put on it or painted on it or whatever. If you take an amulet and you do engraving or paint on it or anything of that nature, you're making it a talisman.
That's so cool. I had no idea.
And neither did I.
Yeah.
So it was an education for me to understand, because when you do talk about talismans,
mm-hmm.
whether it's protective or it's something you want to give your loved one,
mm-hmm.
there's a difference. And then if you give them a bear claw or a feather or something found that was just found, there's a different energy.
And
there.
That's a spell work
and
right there, too. You can take an object and imbue it with specific energy, or with something I suggest to people all the time, is pick a piece of jewelry that you wear every day, and every day, if it's protection, put a little protection oil and say a prayer over that piece of jewelry and put it on, and as you put it on, you visualize yourself in a little protective bubble, and
uh-huh.
that you wear it all day long.
Uh-huh.
Jewelry can be imbued with energy a talisman, an amulet, these things are all part of creative spells.
Exactly, and that's part of magic. Magic isn't just saying, oh, I'm going to light a candle, I'm going to do this incense, I'm going to, you know, get
That's the ritual of magic.
That's the ritual of magic.
Yeah.
And then there are, you know, of course, we know figural candles, you know, things that look like what you want.
Right, going back to that sympathetic.
Sympathetic magic. Yeah. You know, and you work with it.
Right, right.
So.
And you want to speak when you do your spell work. You want to chant. You want to raise energy, which, again, we talked about all of this in our ritual show. So you may want to, if you're looking to create a spell, you may want to also listen to the ritual podcast, because it goes through the step-by-step of creating a ritual. And you want to speak out loud your goal. You want to write out your goal. And maybe you don't write that in regular language, regular English or Spanish or French or whatever. You know, there are magical alphabets. There's the elfin alphabet. There's runes. You can create sigils where you actually condense your intention and your sentence. And but, you know, we'll talk about the details of that some other night. But you can condense that and create a symbol, and that symbol represents your goal. Then anyone can see that symbol. You could paint it on your face, and no one would know what it is but you. So your spell stays a secret, and it stays a part of the working that you're doing, and no one has to know what that symbol means.
Exactly. And a side note which just came to mind is when we get tattoos. We can obviously have symbols and sigils, so to speak, in pictorial form that means something to us and is imbued with that purpose and energy that no one else understands or sees. They see it only in a particular form.
Right.
So magic is not one-dimensional in what we're talking about, special little objects and things. It can be a lot of things.
Right.
And we tend to find that we get creative, you know, crocheting, knitting, knotting, macrame. These are all things that go back to ancient knot magic.
Oh, yeah, knot magic is so fun and powerful.
Yeah.
And imagine if you're doing a protection spell for your grandchild, and you crochet a scarf. With every stitch, you're putting in your goal and your intention, and you pick a specific yarn that is the color, that's the climate, and you only crochet on the full moon. Like, you can do all these steps. It doesn't have to be something super woo. It could be something completely practical.
Right.
But it's the steps that you take. It's the intentions you put into it. It's the other things that are in alignment with your ultimate goal that help the success happen more swiftly.
Right. So, and obviously for us, we deal with a lot of different desires, and it comes up with, you know, a lot of them are around love, and then you get money, and then you get health.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
there's our priorities.
There's our priorities there. So, but it all comes down to how you want to craft it. And as a beginner, it usually is through the help of someone you were working with.
Right.
And when they give you these things, it's like, go for it. So I have a tendency to be one to say, you know, intent overrides everything. I think it's when you have an intent and I tell you you need to go get a yellow candle and you can't get a yellow candle and you start freaking out because you can't get a yellow candle.
Right.
That's taking it too literally.
Yes, yes.
So it is, there is a point about intent. You can use a white candle and still have the yellow candle energy of what you want. So I think that is important to understand about using the concept of intent to override things.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the more things you can have in alignment with your goal, the better, obviously, but not to the point where it freezes you because everything isn't perfect and right and specific. And, you know, if you have to do it on Monday instead of Friday,
Yeah. You know, there's all these things that are flow.
Yeah.
And as long as you understand movement and flow is what energy is about and what magic is about, you'll catch on when your gut says, I don't think I should be doing it this way. I need to do it that way. You listen. That is, I think, the big part of when you start taking on your power.
Right.
You know, and it's little steps. And, you know, most of us, I give the thing is, you know, your grandchild is learning how to walk. You don't get upset because that child takes one step and falls down.
Right.
You encourage it. So obviously practitioners are there to help and encourage.
And we talked about your guides and ancestors and allies and deities. When you're doing the work, you also want to call on them. Are you doing love work? Is there an ancestor of yours that had a long, happy marriage?
Right.
Is there a god that you work with that you want to help influence your love magic? Is there an ally, a specific archangel or some energy that can help support your work? It doesn't have to just be human.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, even animal allies can help with specific spell working.
I know that, you know, when I used to do certain works, that I would have one of my cats always seem to hang out. Didn't necessarily mean that she got on top. A couple of times she did, her tail got singed. But, you know, it's just, that's the energy.
Right.
You know, and that's a live process. It can be symbolic, you know, and I think that using your allies in whatever form is important.
Right.
And
then there is this concept, and we only have 3 minutes left, but is this a ritual and a spell working that you do one night, or is this something you do for 7 nights in a row? Is it something you do every Friday for 6 months? These are all the things that you would want to do in your research and in your prep, you know, pulling all of these things together. It could just be a one-night thing. It could be a year-long thing, but that's part of you crafting your ritual. That's the spell crafting part of
right.
the spell. And then charging that work and putting your energy into that work and then letting it go.
Ah, that's the big one.
That's the hardest part with 2 minutes left.
To let go. It's getting someone to let go.
Right.
To let go.
And have faith. You know, and often there's a saying in Christian religion, let go and let God.
Yes.
That's the thing. You just got to let it go and know that your work was good and your work was solid and your goal will come into manifesting. And it may not look like what you expected, so also let go of your expectations.
That is true, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a way to end our show.
Yeah. There's 60 seconds left, so I'll say we may need to do a second round on this topic.
We may
There's
have
so much to say.
Yes, and we'll do like part two.
Yeah.
But next week we are doing the cauldron.
The cauldron.
Ah.
Cauldron of mystery.
And that's the third of our wonderful triad here on our name.
That's right. It'll be a show all about Alan, our board operator.
There he goes. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we will be back next week.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.